we in this congregation have felt the fragility of our bodies and the temporality of our lives on this planet. We had Brother Bob nearly taken from us, and I just talked to Awilda last night, and she said that I had told her, just based on my knowledge, that no matter what they did with CPR, she had just been trained in CPR, that there was nothing that she could have done, because I believed, without having any report, just from my knowledge, experience, that that was a major coronary infarction, and so that would have cut off the blood flow. And no matter how much you stimulate the heart, and it may start, but it can't have any blood get to it, so it's over. And last night I talked to her, and she told me that she got the coroner's report, and it was a massive heart attack and a nearly 100% blockage of the widowmaker. 100% blockage of the widow. How many was yours blocked, Bobby? How much? 100% as well. And so you see, with Bobby, it could have gone the same way. Normally it would. It was just a deliverance of God. But based on time for the ambulance to get there and everything, and in Bobby's case, his wife got him there immediately, just in time. But we see the fragility of the body in which we live. And many of us have had people die. My father died just about 3 years ago. Ralph Tolley passed. Marlene is here. And family members we know. Marion Owen, Denny Owen. And this is just recently. Ruben Rodriguez, 21 years old, got a flu and he passed, and we seemed like we just had his funeral. And now we have another funeral coming up. And tonight, you know, we just think about last Wednesday. Benji was here with us. Last Sunday morning, he was here with us. And now he's not here. His body is in a coffin, and his funeral is coming up. And so I'm reminded with that in mind that Benji and Awilda were in our Sunday school class, just Sunday, sitting right up in the front. And I was talking about the blood and the blood of Jesus, and I was relating it to, you know, our bodies, and that we need blood flowing through our bodies, and that if your arteries get blocked, I said, the blood doesn't get through and you have a heart attack and you die very often. And they both looked at one another because they'd gotten an exercise bike, and they showed that to me. Wilda showed it to me, and where they were working out, they changed the diet to get the diet proper and all of that. But nevertheless, Benji is gone, 52 years of age. And I think of my Grand Mabel. She used to say, someday some little bug is going to get you. And she also said, someday everything's going to come to a screeching halt when it comes to the mortal body. My Gram's no longer here. Death is so common. A lot of young people here, you don't think about death. But I had a girl die in third grade, got burned to death. I had a friend that got mad at his father and squeezed around his neck with his belt, and he let his belt up, and his air passages had collapsed, and his name was Peter Stuicki, and he was dead in fourth grade. And on it goes. I had a friend named Dan Young. He was coming back from his girlfriend's, driving his car near our house, and ran into the back of a semi because his windows fogged up. I mean, there are, as the television program used to say, 1,000 ways to die. And it could happen, no matter what your age is. And it's in God's hands. Benjamin Franklin in 1789 said this famous statement, "In this life, nothing can be certain except death and taxes." And tonight, I would like to look at the Word of God and what the Word of God says about how you can prepare for the future of your body. How you, as a believer in Jesus Christ, and I'm talking to born-again believers tonight, how you can prepare for the future of your body. And I believe there are three things in 2 Corinthians 5 that we can lift out to help you prepare and me prepare for the future of our bodies. And number one, prepare by discerning the future of your body. Prepare by discerning from the Word of God the future of your body. What God says about your body. People have a lot of things to say about their body. They have a lot of health tips, and that's all well and good. But what does God say? And look at verse 1. It says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens." That word dissolved is what we think of when we think of the body that's dead, and then it gets buried, and then it eats away and just goes back, as it were, to dust. And he says, we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved. And so you need to, first of all, discern from the Word of God the uncertainty of your present body. It's fragile. You know, somebody said fragile, handle with care. Your body is very, very fragile. As people get older, they notice the fragility of the body, because the body begins to have problems, and it breaks down. And how many of you have ever had a glass that you've dropped? Raise your hand. You know what happened to that. It's gone. You had to throw it away. You had to bury it. Or maybe something else that's fragile that was broken, and now it's beyond repair, and it went to the garbage, and it was thrown away. At one time it was new, at one time it was fresh. And so the Bible says that our body, our present body, the one that we live in right now, is from the earth. God made our bodies originally out of the dust of the ground. I like to say that God took dust and spit on it and formed it into a clay lump with all of the symmetry of the body. And then he breathed into us the breath of a soul and a spirit. And we became a living soul. And we were alive. But since you know that sin entered into the world, then death entered in, and that body immediately of Adam began to die, and Eve began to die, and every child that came from them is born now with a mortal dying body. And right away you had the first death with the murder of Abel. How fragile that body is as the blood spilled out on the ground. And your present body, the Bible says, is like an earthly house. It's called here a tabernacle. That means a tent. And I remember going camping as a kid, and we would camp out in the backyard, watch the stars. And it was fun to go camping, but we had to take that tent down and go in. I remember camping in a pup tent, and it rained. I got all wet, and I wanted to go in the house, you know, because that wasn't very comfortable. And the longer you stay in this earthly mortal body, the more you realize it's like that pup tent that is breaking down and parts of your body break down. And you go to the doctor and he may heal you and this and that. But my friend, no matter how healthy you are, no matter how much you do, you have an expiration date written on your body. You ever got food with an expiration date on it and eaten it? Raise your hand. But you have an expiration date written on your body. I don't know when it is. Benji was 52 years of age. God knows your death date and he knows your birth date, but I know you're not going to live forever, and God limits it in Psalm 90. He says average 70 to 80 years. Teach us to number our days. You're not going to be here forever. That we may apply our hearts to wisdom. So, how you can prepare for the future of your body by discerning the future of your body, and part of discerning the future of your body is discerning your present temporary body that is like a tent. And look at Charlie Kirk, a great man with a great future, with great plans, and suddenly we saw an assassin's bullet hit him and he was gone. Immediately gone. I'm just saying, these bodies are so fragile. And the reason why you're still alive is the grace of God, is the protection of God over your life. But he has your birthday. A lot of people celebrate their birthday, but you know you have a death day. And I was up at the Rodriguez's, and Joey Andrew Jar was there, and I was talking to him, and another friend of Benji was there, named Jose, a great big guy. Wilda told me when Benji was young, he was skinny, and Jose used to pick him up by the legs and hold him up like that. And Jose's a preacher from Allentown. You know Amarillo. You know him. And it was good talking to him, but Jose Andrew Jar said to me, and the other guy's Jose too, Jose said to me, call him Joey, he said, you know, I think of that verse, Psalm 116, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. You see, for us it's terrible to go through a death. What a horrible thing it was for me to have a Wilda call me up after that good morning service in the afternoon in tears, saying, Benji's on the floor, and we're giving him CPR. Would you pray? And immediately I prayed and got my wife, and we sent out stuff. Pastor Ware put up black hands saying he was praying. But in heaven it's different. His mother comes up and greets him and hugs him. Good to have you home, son. His father comes up and greets him. Good to have you home, son. Jesus is there to introduce him. And you say, who does he want to see? Moses? No, he wants to see his mother. That's who you want to see first. Your family. Sure, God set that up. Your loved ones. Your precious friends on earth that are there ahead of you. And I'm just saying that this is temporary, and it says that we need to recognize that if you're going to discern the future of your body. But it doesn't stop there with our temporary body. Notice in verse 1, it also says, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. What is he saying there? If we die, if our earthly body dies, God did not make you to be a ghost forever. He did not make you to be a disembodied spirit. Man was made to have a physical body. And his plan for you is to have a physical body. He has that in store for you. He has that waiting for you in the future. And the Bible says that that future body, you know, when God made man originally, made him out of the dust of the ground, and I believe it was a pre-incarnate Jesus that made him and then breathed in. But the future body is not made with hands. You say, well, how is that future body made? The Bible says it in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 21. It says this, who shall change our vile body? Do you know your body is a vile body? It is. It's corruptible. It's decaying. You heard of tooth decay. There's all kind of decay going on in your body. All the time. And he says, who shall change our vile body? Do you believe that? Do you believe that without hands, that the God of gods, that the Son of God, and that's who he's talking about in Philippians 3, that he by his own self will change that vile body. He'll heal it. Do you know healing is in the atonement? The Bible says, by his stripes we're healed. Psalm 103 says, thank God he healeth all our diseases. But those healings in this life are only temporary. But that healing that's in the atonement has a time stamp on it. You say, when is that time stamp? When Jesus comes back. By his stripes, every believer will be healed, whether they're in the grave or out of the grave. And he says here, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. You see, tonight you need to discern what the Lord Jesus says about your future body. Otherwise, you're going to get very discouraged. Otherwise, you're going to mourn as those that have no hope. Like my wife when her grandmother passed and her uncle, her grandmother's son, who was basically an atheist, I think, your Uncle Bus. And he came up to the casket and he said, death is so final. Death is so final. Tonight the Word of God says, no, it is not. If we had only one Adam, it would be final. But thank God tonight we have a second Adam. We have the last Adam. And he has had the last word. And he says, get up and go out of the grave. And those that are alive, be changed. And the power of the Holy Spirit will make you glorious. The Bible says it this way in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 16, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. I like that. I like it that we're in a church where the shout has not gone out. We got something to shout about. The world has their rock music and they shout. People go to their political rallies and they shout. How much more should we shout in the house of God? Give him glory in the house of God tonight. And when he returns, the Bible says, The Lord himself shall descend. I like that. He's the one that paid for this new body, and he's coming back to make sure that you get that new body. And if you're still alive, you're going to get it, because he says he's able to change that vile body right then and there, and he will do it then and there. But wait a minute. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 said, before he does that to those that are alive, look what it says. He shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. First, those that have passed away: Ralph Tolley, Eric Slobodnik, Dennis, the Menace Owen, Benji Rodriguez, and on and on. Awilda said, I'm so thankful that I know where Benji is. I know he was born again. I saw God work in his life. She said, I saw Christians study all the different religions, and he's the one that wanted to go back to church, because he said, it's Jesus. Amen. It's Jesus. And to that, the Bible says, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. No man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm saying, how can you prepare for the future of your body? You have to, first of all, get into God's Word and prepare by discerning the future of your body. And number two, prepare by desiring your final body. Prepare by desiring your final body. Here's what it says in 1 Corinthians 5, chapter 5, verse 2. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house, which is from heaven. How many of you have ever groaned because of pain in your body? All right. Rest of you are liars. I mean, aches and pains and problems. And I would like to tell you it's going to get better, but no. No, you're fighting a losing battle. Now, it's all right to fight it. I battle with it every day. Amen. I try to eat the right food, get the right exercise. That's a good thing. Nothing wrong with that. Be a steward of your body. Get as much as you can out of it. I like it when people say, man, you don't look like an older pastor. You look pretty young. You're pretty big. All right, I want that. I like that. I'm into that. Amen. But by the same token, I know that there's groaning going on. I had an eye that went up like a cyclops. I've been fighting that eye, trying to keep it. I can't get rid of it. I got to get it cut. But that's minor. Brother Jose's fighting two kinds of cancers. And eventually we're fighting a losing battle in these bodies. And you and I, the Bible said, we need to really use that pain and problems to desire the final body. Because the last I checked out in the Bible, that final body is much better than this body. And that's what the Apostle Paul said, the great Apostle Paul. He said, for in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed. Notice that, earnestly desiring. That means I'm really looking forward to it. I know some of the kids, you're looking forward to Christmas, no doubt. You're looking forward to Thanksgiving. It's a lot of fun, isn't it? My father-in-law said, he said, when my wife his wife, when she died, he said that he was going to put all the Christmas lights on her grave. But you know what? Something better than Christmas, something better than your birthday, something better than Thanksgiving, Brother Joe, is when your body is clothed upon with a new body. In other words, Paul was saying, I'm looking not to die. I'm not looking forward so much to die. And the Bible never teaches look forward to die or people be committing suicide. In fact, the Bible says when Paul went to heaven, God wouldn't even allow him to talk about it. It was unlawful because he didn't want people to want to die. But he wanted the upper taker. He wanted the rapture. He wanted to have his body be clothed upon with the body that we have been promised. You know, in Hollywood, they go there and they get clothed upon with a facelift. I'm looking for the Jesus facelift, where I get lifted up, amen? Because those things are so temporary, and sometimes they mess up and their lips are like this big, and it is really bad. Not pleasant. The Apostle Paul loved the appearing of the Lord Jesus. The word appearing is the Greek word translated in our English Bible, appearing. It's the word epiphania. And what it means is that that as we get farther along and the world gets rid of the good things that are happening now in the United States, and as we have this one world government and a cashless monetary system and all that pressure to go along with that, and then the Bible says God is going to bring it all to a halt, and he's going to cause the sun to go black. He's going to cause the moon to go dark. It will be so dark you can't see your hand in front of your face. There's going to be an earthquake that's going to cause tsunamis and cause whole islands to be covered, and people are going to be having massive coronaries. And right in the midst of that, the Word of God says, when all that is happening and you've been following the signs because you know the signs of His coming, He says, look up. And if I'm here and I'm alive, I'm going to be looking up at that time saying, this is it. This is it. And then what's going to happen? The whole sky is going to light up greater than fireworks, greater than anything. It's going to be the light of Jesus. It's going to be the glory of the Lord. And the Bible speaks about it. And when he comes back, the whole sky is going to light up. And that's going to be the sign of his coming. And what's the response of the people that have taken the mark and have gone along? Oh, they're going to mourn. They're going to weep and cry, and they're going to try it initially to escape if they're rich and go underground in their prepper places. But you can run, friend, but you can't hide from that. But then we which are alive after we see our dead loved ones' bodies raised and they're united with their bodies, we're going to have our bodies changed and meet them. And he says it this way in 1 Corinthians 15, 51 and 52. Behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery is just a secret that was not revealed until Paul wrote it down here in the New Testament. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. In other words, the Bible taught resurrection, but it didn't teach this in the past. He says, we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. At the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Have you ever seen a caterpillar? Not too glorious, but have you ever seen a monarch butterfly?
Yeah.
That's a little picture of the difference between your body now and your resurrection body. The Word of God says that how can you prepare for your future body? By discerning the future body and by desiring your final body. How much do you desire the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ? I desired the second coming of Donald Trump. But that's nothing. We were those that dreamed, but that is nothing compared to that liberation day. Oh, my friend, that is what we ought to be groaning for. That's what we ought to be desiring. And we ought to discern what that means. if we're going to prepare for the future of your body. And so we look forward to that. And the Bible says, for we that are in verse 4 of 2 Corinthians 5, for we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed. That means not that we would leave our body in death. That's not what we're groaning for. That's not what we're burdened for. What are we groaning for? But that we would be clothed upon, that mortality should be swallowed up of life. Paul desired that. It was only at the very end of his life that he realized, when he wrote 2 Timothy, he wasn't going to be there for that great day. Do you know, every generation we ought to expect that he's going to do that in our lifetime and be looking forward to that. Are you focused upon that? Or do you have lesser things that you're looking forward to? How you can prepare for the future of your body? Number one, by preparing by discerning the future of your body. Number two, by preparing by desiring your final body. Number three, prepare by denying your former body or your first body. Now, I want you to notice what he says in verse 5. I'll read it. He says in 2 Corinthians 5:5, now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who has also given us the earnest of the Spirit. You know what the word wrought us for is? That God made us to be saved. God made us to be saved. He's the one that showed you your sin. He's the one that showed you you couldn't save yourself. He's the one through the Word of God that showed you you were going to have to die. But then he was the one that showed you Jesus, and that Jesus was the Savior and caused you to believe. And then you know what he did? He came into your life by the Holy Spirit. Have you had that experience? You see, if you've had that experience, that is an important thing. He's given you the earnest of the Spirit. That means he's given you the Holy Spirit to live in you and to be with you. And that's your down payment of the future body that you're going to look forward to. See, when he saved you, he took away your sins. He gave you a home in heaven. But he gave you the Holy Spirit to live within you, to guide you, to lead you, and change your life by doing that. Have you had that experience? If not, you need to be born again. But if you've had that experience, guess what? Your body is not saved. Your soul is saved. The Holy Spirit lives in your spirit, and he's working on your soul to save your personality from the lust of the flesh. But he's not yet saved your body. Sin still lives in your body. Decay still is in your body. Your body is not yet saved. You say, when will my body be saved? In the future, when Jesus comes back. Right now, your soul is safe, but we earnestly groan for that future body. And verse 5 says here that God wrought us for this thing, and he's given us the earnest, or the down payment, of the Spirit in our lives, so that we can know he's sincere about this. And then he says in verse 6, therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. If you're a born-again Christian, if you put your faith in Jesus, right now you're here tonight in this church and you're in your mortal body. But you can be confident that while you're here, the Lord with his loved ones is up there, and they're in a better place. Remember Paul Bielinski? We had his funeral right here. And I remember Paul, and he was a big part of this church back in the day. A friend of Andy Mynarczyk. I remember Andy and Paul coming to the 4th of July picnics. And Paul, you know, his wife his friend at work took his wife from him, basically. Wicked man. And Paul didn't like that, and he told me, you know, I want to contribute to the sign. And he gave us half our money to have our sign. He used to want me to put on the sign, God hates divorce, because his wife divorced him, went with this friend at work. And I put it up there. And Paul, I remember, went to Eric's funeral. Shortly after, Paul was stricken with serious cancer. I remember visiting him in the hospital. Anybody knows Paul, he'd get impatient with you sometimes. I was visiting him in the hospital. I'm trying to give him a drink with a straw, and I wasn't doing it right. And he's like, ah, you're not doing it right. And I said, Paul, I'm here to tell you, it's not going to be long. You're going to leave us. And angels are going to show up, according to Luke 16, and they're going to take you to the third heaven. And he smiled at that. And I remember that was in December of 2005, and then we had the service here in the church for Paul, the funeral service, and his brother, who's a lawyer, came up from Texas, and other people were here. And it was pretty filled up. And it was January, and it was cold. And this building is cold. And Brother Joe, do you remember this? The furnace broke down. And we were freezing. And you're never going to guess the name of Paul's funeral message. Paul's in a better place. And I'm telling you, everybody in that building felt it. That Paul is in a better place. No furnace is going to break down. No pain. His brother, who's an attorney, came up to me after. He said, boy, that's true. That message was true. And it is true. It is true. And the Word of God says that you can prepare for the future of your body, prepare by discerning the future of it, prepare by desiring your former body, and prepare by your final body, and prepare by denying your first body, this body. You say, what are you talking about, preacher? Well, Paul said in Philippians chapter 1, verse 23, he said, to be absent from this body is to be present with the Lord. If being present in this body means you're absent when the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, you're not there, you're here. I'm not there, I'm here. But to be absent from the body is to be present from the Lord. And while we don't look forward to dying, we shouldn't be looking for that, but for the second coming. He says to depart and to be with Christ is far better. Therefore, in verse 21 of Philippians, it says, Philippians 1:21, it says, to die is gain. Now, people say, can you recognize people in heaven? I know people wrote books, said you're going to look young when you're in heaven. Well, that's not what I see in the Bible, but you remember when Saul saw Samuel? He didn't look young. He looked like he did when he passed. He looked old. I'm just saying to you, to be in heaven is glorious. It's wonderful. And therefore, you shouldn't be feeling bad about leaving your former body and being with the Lord. It's going to be a wonderful time. But even those in heaven now, if you look at the book of Revelation, Revelation 5, those that are martyrs, what are they doing? They're crying out to God, how long, Lord? How long before you bring in the day of the Lord? How long, O Lord, before you deliver us? I'm just saying tonight, We all have something to look forward to, whether we're absent from the Lord and right here, or whether we're absent from here like Benji and with the Lord and in a far better place he is than us. But we need to realize that we need to prepare for the future body. That's the thing to look forward to. Prepare by discerning the future of your body. Prepare by desiring your future body. And prepare by denying your former or your first body. It's temporary. It's the difference between a pup tent and the Taj Mahal. It's so much better. People get excited about their mansions and their houses and their yards. You ought to see the place Jesus is preparing. Benji's seeing it, but there's something better coming. When we all get united, let's be preparing for that tonight. Let's bow for prayer, every head bowed. And we've been talking about the future and how you can prepare for the future of your body. And somebody